you looking for solid answers on why our healthcare system is so jacked up? Tired of the soft talk and ready to get real? Then turn up the volume and tune into smashithealthcare.com, where real, serious medical advisors are discussing how to save our healthcare system.
Get ready to get smashed.
Hey, Smashers, welcome back to the Smash It Podcast. My name is Bob Salvat. I got Danny from Soho, and I got the man, the legend, and we're going to talk about the mantle on the next episode, Mr. Dutch Rojas. Dutch, thank you so much for coming back. Thank you, Smash It listeners, for coming back and subscribing. Listen to our last episode where we talked about Dutch the man. So happy to have him back. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the legend, and we're going to get into today the leadership qualities of Dutch and what he looks for in his leaders and what he's looking to leave behind as far as, you know, those that he mentors and, you know, his family and healthcare and all that good stuff. So you're in for a great episode today. So tune in, turn up the volume. And Dutch, how you doing, my man? What's going on?
I'm doing great. I think you already know, but we had a new son last Monday.
Congratulations.
I couldn't be more ecstatic and I couldn't be more excited. I have a daughter who's turning 4 next week, and now I have a son. And I think there's just something innate in a man when he hears that he's going to have a little boy.
Oh, you know,
it's like you would have loved another little girl. And there's no difference in the love you show your kids. But like, I am so elated that I'm the father of a little boy. You know, I can't stop looking at him.
That's awesome.
Like, I'm just like, this guy is going to be the man.
He is. Yeah, he is going to be the
man. So I'm stoked. Yeah.
So the irony, we talk a little bit about before the show starts, and you didn't even bring this up, and look what we're talking about.
We're talking about light it up when we first started.
This
talking.
Is crazy. Like, that's amazing. You know, so we're talking about leadership. We're talking about, you know, being a legend and creating a legend. Here's something that you're going to be able to pass on to this little guy, right? And he's going to listen to this show in the future. And look, this is for, you know, this is for the future. This is for our kids. This is for those that we mentor, and especially this little guy. You know, I have a vision right now of, like, you know, What is it, Simba, where he lifts him up in the air? That's phenomenal, man. That's phenomenal. So congratulations to you and Mama Bear. And he's got a little sister, right?
Yep, little 4-year-old sister. Oh. So she's stoked. She's got her own. To help out.
She's got a live baby doll. What a perfect age, right?
She's out of her mind. Yeah.
My son, when I brought my youngest son home, his older brother was, they're 17 months apart, right? So Trace, he had a little bit of a cold, and so we bring in the newborn baby, bring him into the house, we put him down, and I know my other son's got a little bit of a cold, but he wants to see his brother so bad. He's like crying, and I'm like, yeah, but be careful because he's not feeling well. And he walks up to his brother, and the first thing he does is he goes, achoo! And he just blows snot all over his brand new baby brother. I was like, there you go. Your brother baptized you. First baptism.
Exactly. You're getting immunized, baby. Welcome to the world.
That's it. And he didn't get sick either.
I was 41 before I had my first one. I'm now 45. Wow. I don't think there's a greater joy than children. You can say whatever you want. I've lived it all, and I've lived around the world, but like, this is the greatest thing of all time.
I keep telling Danny, man, do it while you got the energy, bro.
Oh, bro. Come on, Danny. Come on, buddy.
Come on. I'm looking for, you know, some nieces and nephews to be popping out. Get it done. All right. Awesome. Let's jump into this show. So Dutch, I got a few questions for you. Okay. And I'm going to throw a few things at you. From another gentleman out there in the leadership world. I don't know if any of you Smash It listeners ever listen to leadership podcasts or anything like that. But, you know, I like to listen to Craig Rochelle a lot. Craig Rochelle is got one of the top leadership podcasts that's out there. I think he's got more subscribers on leadership than anyone else out there. I know they just hit some crazy record. But there was a few things that I took from some notes from one of his podcasts. And I just want to read some of these things off to you. Okay. And then I want to talk to you about your leadership style. And I want to talk to you about the legacy that you'd like to leave behind as far as, like we said, you know, those you mentor, those you work with, healthcare, et cetera. Okay. So here's a few things, right? Don't waste a crisis. Fix things that should have been fixed a long time ago. Invest resources to create gains. See the needs and act quickly. See them and seize them. Leaders address the problems and siege the opportunities. Clearly define problems that you're trying to solve and address. You know, there's not a whole lot of healthcare leaders out there today that have the ability to clearly define the problem and actually try to solve and address them. What are your thoughts on that?
Look, I think there's clearly a lack of leadership in our country. There's a lack of leadership in the household. There's a lack of leadership everywhere. I mean, you can't walk or have a conversation with 10 people during a day and notice the lack of leadership. Look at our education system, our Federal Reserve, our government, our politicians, our football. Like, everywhere you look, there's a lack of leadership. It's like we've forgotten our moral compass, which we have forgotten our moral compass, by the way. There isn't one in the United States today. We used to have one some time ago. It's now been diminished into, well, I feel this or I think that, right? So I think it's time, and I get the sense in my heart when I spend time being introspective that season is coming. Like, I can just feel it, and I feel it with the people that I interact with on a regular basis. Like, something's going to happen in the next year or two. Leadership's going to come back. And I'm not talking about political. I'm talking about spiritual, political, business, everything. Something's going to happen, and there's going to be a massive revival, and people's eyes are going to be open, and they're going to, again, understand that if you're not, that discipline is the best way to live your life, that a moral code is the only way to go, and living this sloppy, I'm going to eat what I want to eat, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to say what I want to, like, that's going to go out the window. Because people are going to realize that, like, where it's at is discipline, leadership, compassion, kindness. Those are the things that drive forward the things that we want to see. So, yes, I'm excited to talk to you about anything that has to do with Craig Rochelle and anything that has to do with leadership and anything that has to do with basically making our society as a whole better.
So, you know, you mentioned discipline. Okay, let's talk about discipline for a minute. I mean, you know, there's a lot of leaders out there who are yes men, right? They see what's going on in society. They see what's going on in the world. They see what their constituents or the employees that are working for them and what they want. And they just, it almost seems like they're more willing to bend and say yes to that than they are to kind of, you know, push the motive or the agenda of what they know deep down inside is right. Do you think that we're going to have leaders that come up through this, you know, this proverbial, you know, revolution that you're talking about, this rising of leaders? Do you think we're going to have these leaders that are yes men, or do you think we're going to have these leaders that are willing to put their foot down and stand up for what is right?
Oh, I think you're going to see a lot of true leadership come back. I mean, you're seeing it all over the world. People are standing up for their own beliefs. People are saying, hey, who are you? You're telling me I have to stay in my own house unless I take this drug. I'm not doing that.
Right.
I'm going to go outside. I'm going to get the food I need to get. I'm going to do the job I need to do. And by the way, you don't control me. You don't own me.
Right.
Right. And I mean, like, it's not something that I'm advocating for. I'm just saying it's going on around the world.
Right.
Like, people are not going to be told what to do and how to do it. And the real leaders are there. Right. Like, when I look at leadership, I mean, I always harken back to my time in the Marine Corps, and I had the privilege of being an enlisted Marine. And watching a bunch of 17, 18, 19-year-old privates, lance corporals, and corporals, which are, by the way, those are the three lowest, right, that you could be.
Right.
Private first class, lance corporal, corporal, sergeant. Like, when you look at what the decisions are that those men and women are making, life and death decisions, and how quickly they make and how determined they are, you see real leadership.
Right.
They see a problem. They address the problem. It's not like, do I feel this or do I think that or will somebody's? No, it's like, let's solve the problem for the best of all of us. Let's do it now.
Right. And I think they get that kind of that common, you know, underlying denominator that's now built into their military experience of, you know, the benefit of working together and being able to get things done much faster, mm-hmm. much more efficiently. You know, you'd rather have like four Marines than, than 20 men, right? Because you could get exactly. things done, you know, much faster, right? First of all, those four Marines are going to get everything done before those 20 men have breakfast, right? So, you know, it's true, right? So right. look, I mean, would you agree that success in leadership, it always starts with a vision?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think you and I can agree that without a vision, the people perish, right?
Like, right.
That is 100% true.
So my next question is, what is your vision for leadership in healthcare? If you could start a leadership class tomorrow, if you could, maybe you're already doing it with those that work within your organization. How many people do you have in your organization right now? And by the way, you're
26, 28.
This is Sano Healthcare, right? You're the CEO of Sano?
Yes.
Right. So CEO of Sano Healthcare. And what does Sano Healthcare do again?
It eliminates copays, deductibles, coinsurance, gives people access to health benefits today.
Right. Okay. And so you have 26 to 28 people that you employ. What is your vision as far as leadership is concerned with those that you work that work for you?
I need everyone to be an example of how to deploy our products, but probably the most important thing, if I could articulate it correctly, would be to say, people hear it here in my office all the time, that it's not about them. Like, when we talk to an employer, I tell the employer, like, it's not about cases for us, or it's not about making sure somebody gets out of that. No, no, no. What we want to do is help you take care of your patients. Tell me what your pain points are, right? Share with me what your challenges are. And the challenges coming out of healthcare today are, one, prices are not transparent. Two, healthcare treatments are expensive. And three, nobody can really access the benefits they have because copays, deductibles, and coinsurance is too high.
Right.
So the leadership in our organization understands that what we're trying to do is solve the problem with the employers. When I notice defects in leadership, and defects in leadership for me are when we start to say, you know, Mr. Employer, we'd really like to drive more case volume to our business. Right. Why did you go with so-and-so instead of us? Like, that's what I do. I'm like, get it off yourself and get on to what the customer needs and ultimately what the patient needs.
Right. I love it.
I mean, how do you transform healthcare around the world? Well, you do it by addressing patient needs. I mean, that's
You're breaking it down to its simplest form, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, we, you know, our population is growing, right? Population's growing like crazy. Healthcare needs to kind of grow along with it and be able to manage it, right? Leaders need to grow and understand, you know, the complexity of it, right? And be able to deal with it. But what you're saying, you're hitting on some key points, right? And Craig Rochelle talks about the four enemies of growth, right? And you touched on a couple of them. Number one, the first thing you brought up was underdeveloped leaders. So you are developing these leaders with a sense of vision and humility so that they understand the most basics of what they need to do in order to embrace progress. The next one is unnecessary complexity. breaking it down to its simplest form. Patient needs. What does the patient need, right? How about this? Unscalable process is an enemy of growth. Or how about this? Unhealthy mindsets.
Right.
Right? So if you have somebody within your organization that has an unhealthy mindset about what's going on, how do you address that?
I think there's two things you do. One is you get better at your own hiring process. Look, I think everybody knows this because I'm pretty loud about it, which is the first six people that worked at our organization came here to work for a dollar a year. I'm a mission-driven guy. We didn't have any money. We had a vision. We didn't have any customers. Imagine going to a bunch of doctors and telling them, hey, we're going to get you new patients, but we don't really know how because we don't understand the process, which way employers work. And we have to talk to benefits consultants. I didn't even know the nomenclature for them. But I know because I'm a visionary and a dreamer, and I promise you we're going to get it done. That was literally my first pitch, right?
Right.
And it was a disaster. But the truth is,
you put that in a PowerPoint?
Right. I found loyal people who were like, hey, I see this guy's passion. I share his vision, right? Because now it's not my vision anymore. Now it's their vision too. Probably one of the biggest compliments you can get is we had an award ceremony earlier this year, and two of the guys that really helped me run the company, I'd probably say they run the company more than I do, said really that even though they know God gave me the vision for Sano, it's really now theirs too.
I think when
you lead and you inspire, what you want is other people to grab what you're grabbing. Like, I know for a fact that I'm the dumbest guy in my organization. And I say that just like we talk about, I say that with humility, not with a false sense of any kind of ego. And really, the reason that is because every single person I inspire to join us, right, can help us in a different way. And it's those strong people that come on board that know what to do. They were just a little aimless in life. Like, hey, yeah, they just had a regular job, right? Nothing wrong with a regular job.
Right.
But then they found this and they were like, hey, I got to get on board with this.
Right.
I actually have a chance to solve this problem that everybody's facing in the world. And so they did.
That's awesome.
I don't think you can be a better leader than that.
Right. Right. So we need more people in healthcare to understand this and do this. And so look, if you're out there and you're listening and you got some great ideas about leadership and, you know, you think you can match up to what Dutch is doing with Sano, you know, please shoot us a message, let us know. But I'll tell you what.
What I love about that is, and I've said this for years, and there's a guy that runs a company similar to mine.
Mm-hmm.
When we get together, we say the same things. Like, I would love it if there were 1,000 companies like mine, right? Because the goal isn't for Dutch Rojas to have kind of something. The goal is for patients to have no barriers, right? And for the healthcare system around the world to be less complex.
Right.
Like it ought to be pretty easy. Like every kid in the world knows how to use a Nintendo and a gaming system and a computer.
Right.
Right. In the Western world. So why is it so hard for all those people then to access? Like, it's healthcare is not complex. Treating injuries, like dealing with disease states, well, that can be complex. Sure.
Right.
But come on.
There is an element of unnecessary complexity in healthcare.
Yes.
Right?
You see it every day.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, the things that we see, and I think it's even getting worse, you know, in some ways, you know, the ways that they're trying to, and we do, I forget what pocket, Danny, maybe you can help me out what show that was, but we talk about how they're going to grade, you know, physicians and what the point system that they're going to use in order to get them to go ahead and report. And the level of complexity is just off the charts. And I almost feel like, you know, it's because they're trying to hide certain things in the margin. So that's obviously an enemy of growth, that somehow, some way we need to really pull back the reins and get to, you know, a less complex, a more scalable process. And like you said, I mean, even children know how to use a computer and know how to, you know, do these video games and all. I mean, even children know this stuff, right? So
like, here's an example, right? Like, everyone will say transparency doesn't work. And this is the example they'll use. They'll go, so if you get in a car wreck and you break your tibia, mm-hmm. how are you, like, what's getting a price for that going to do? Right? And I'm like, well, the question's so backwards, it gives sight alignment into the fact that this person knows nothing, because if you knew anything, you wouldn't ask such an absurd question.
Right.
See, price transparency isn't about, can I shop for something before I arrive at the hospital unconscious and sedated
right.
by EMSA?
Right.
What it's about is, does the hospital have a price that your health benefits understands up front? Hey, we do have a price. When you break your humerus, when you break your tibia, you break your fibia, no matter what happens, if we have a bunch of complexities, we have a price for those things. And we know that we're not going to go outside of those boundaries when it happens.
Love it.
I mean, it's not that complex.
Right.
And so, as you said, good leadership, you break down complex things. Right. And that's what I feel like I'm doing. Every single day, a doctor says to me, well, this is just a race to the bottom, Mr. Rojas. And I'm like, did you take macroeconomics in undergrad? Like, did you pay attention to mathematics? And it's not me being demeaning or unkind. It's really just being able to tell the story in a way and explain it. And when you explain it, they go, oh, well, that's pretty amazing. And I go, yeah. It's not a race to the bottom. It's a race to value to make sure you get paid more than all the supposed bad doctors that you don't like.
Right. Right.
It's all pretty simple.
If we eliminate the complexity, then we start to eliminate the outliers. We eliminate the outliers, then we can start getting to a baseline and have fair competition. We get to fair competition, then you have a scalable process. Right. And now you actually have the growth and the simplicity of understanding a healthcare system that can scale to, you know, millions of people and not have a problem. Right. And you can have insurance companies that can approve, you know, procedures and approve things on a much easier basis and not spend so much time, which is money, right, to figure all of that out. Right.
100%.
So, okay. So let's talk a little bit more about what do you look for? Okay. In a leader that you want to develop, let's say you're going through the hiring process. Okay. Mm-hmm. And hopefully some of your future hires listen to this, right? But you're going through the hiring process, or maybe, you know, you're promoting internally, right? What are some of the core leadership qualities or potential for leadership qualities that you're looking for in an individual, so that you can help shape and form and help them to understand the vision? So like the two guys that you had mentioned, you guys can actually grow together and you can actually, you know, really start to create an awesome front of stormtroopers that can take on healthcare and beat this thing.
Look, I think the number one trait that anyone can have is curiosity. The reason I say that is because people who are curious will look at all problems that they're faced with and not believe the status quo. They'll look at a box and they'll say, but I can open it this way. I don't have to follow the rules that I've been told.
Intelligence.
Curious people are the entrepreneurs of tomorrow. So when you ask me, like, what am I looking for? I find people who are immensely curious. The second largest character trait I look for is empathy. Like, look, if you're going to talk to a couple who you're saying to them, hey, look, we know that you need this surgery for your child. Call it not something complex, but call it a hernia for a five-year-old, right?
Right.
Like, I don't want someone doing surgery on my five-year-old. It's a big deal. It's a 30 to 45 minute surgery. You better have natural empathy for those parents when they throw up questions like, well, if it's no copay, no deductible, is it a lower quality center?
Right.
How are they able to do it cheaper? you have to be able to take this barrage of very elementary and fundamentally unsound questions that are not logical, and you have to show love, attention, and you have to just be able to surround these families and these family members and say, you know what? Here's the process. Here's how it works. And we're going to make sure you get a really good outcome.
Right.
And you have to express that with kindness and empathy. I think that there are people, not necessarily me, who have the ability to talk to other people and have a conversation and break them down.
Humanize
and I don't mean
them.
That. Yeah. I mean, like,
love it.
They shake their hand or they get on the phone and instantly there's like this connection. And it's like, oh yeah, this person knows what they're talking about. I can now relax. The firefighter's here, the police officer's here, everything is okay.
Right.
So those are the two big, big characteristics for me.
I hope everyone out there's taking notes. If you want to work for Sano, you want to work for Dutch Rojas, you better sharpen up on curiosity and empathy, baby. Awesome.
Well, look, I think that the world is not kind enough, and I think that the world does little tidbits, right, to be passive-aggressive and to snip at people. And I think empathy says, you know what, I matter and I know my own value, but I'm going to be kind and compassionate to other people.
So Dutch, you're going to laugh when you hear this. Okay. Yeah. I read, you know, up on leadership all the time, and I'm kicking myself right now because I don't have the person who actually wrote this. And I'm going to read it to you because of what you just said. But I will find who this person is that wrote this, and I will try and get it to you and get it to our listeners. Okay. Listen to this. Listen to what they wrote. When leading through difficult times, you must display your humanity. We have to be vulnerable, transparent, and real. We have to exercise our empathy muscles. When I'm convinced that you know how I feel, I will be far more open to your influence. When you acknowledge and legitimize my fear, worry, and concern, I'll trust you. But if you ignore it, downplay it, brush it off, criticize me for it, or if you seem to be unaware of how current reality is impacting my family and me, I am going to resist you. During times of disruption and uncertainty, people need to be shepherded, not because they're sheep, but because they're looking to you and me for what sheep look for in their shepherds: protection, security, and reassurance.
It reminds me of, you know, Tony Robbins says there's like six things that every human needs, but it's always the 80-20 rule, right? So the first one that he says is certainty, right? When we're having a conversation with a set of parents about the medical treatments that their child needs, imagine how much certainty they need to feel that we're telling the truth.
I mean, right? What you just said right there would seem so obvious to just any normal human being, but there is like this disassociative disorder, this detachment, and for somehow we cannot make that connection. And now all of a sudden these patients have turned into just numbers and accepted losses. Right.
That's 100. Like I wrote a LinkedIn article yesterday. And that's what I addressed. I wrote, it's not about you. And then I wrote, you know, it's not about the number of lives you have. It's not about the revenue you make. It's not about your income. It's not about the market share. It's not about our CAC. It's not about any of that. It's about meeting patients where they are and getting them the care they need today, right now. And that's how my heart works.
Right.
Right. It's like, okay, well, my job is to make health care affordable and accessible for everyone in the world. That's my job, right? It's written right here on my heart. That's the job. So how do you do that? Well, you have to have empathy.
Right.
You have to have curiosity, because no one will, like, the people that are supposed to do it, let's call it the carriers, let's call it the governments of the world, they don't want to do it.
Right.
And they're
Why, though? Why do you, because you talk to a lot of leaders in politics, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I can explore the why, but I don't even know if it matters. I mean, look, it could be that they don't want to, right? We've talked about cancer this morning. Well, maybe they just don't want to solve the problem. I mean, getting somebody a colonoscopy, right, is $1,100. Every employer in the country can afford $1,100
right.
for their people that are over 40.
Right.
But wow, all the academic institutions around the country and the world make a lot of money when they get cancer patients.
Right.
You know, drugs are made, jobs are filled, big buildings are created, endowments are made, and investments are done. Well, if you do those five things, that's billions of dollars, and colonoscopies through a gastroenterologist who's a free market thinker, that's $1,100 a pop. It's not much money.
It's like that movie with who's the guy who played Aquaman in the most recent
Jason somebody.
Huge dude. And his wife gets cancer, and there's a cancer drug, and it's passing clinical trials, it's doing wonders for people, and then another company comes in and buys it and buries it and just totally
and his wife ends up dying. I don't have any evidence.
You don't want that guy coming after you, though, man. You piss that dude off, it's not a good thing. We need to fix this. We need to get that right.
I do think that people are afraid to hear the truth, which is that there is an enemy. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy.
Amen.
And his instruments are anxiety, fear, worry, right? And he deploys them every single day on the masses. Mm-hmm. And unless you have the ability to fight those arrows and fight against those weapons, you stand no chance. And it's evident in the world today. There is a real evil that lives on this planet. And that evil manifests itself regularly. So the idea that, you know, a pharmaceutical company is doing the wrong things, that's not really that hard to grasp.
Right.
I mean, getting people to do things that are wrong, it's not that hard. You give them a job and you pay them, and a whole bunch of people in our society will do things that are really harmful. So I say all these things to say, I don't have any evidence of anything, but when I look at what's available, I think, gosh, we could have solved a lot of the world's problems as it pertains to healthcare. And yet, as a country and as a society, a modern society, we haven't done it.
Right. It's the ding on sick. And as far as this, you know, if you've ever taken a philosophy class, they talk about the ding on sick, the underlying matter from which all things have come. Right. And in my opinion, you know, and the reason why I wanted to have you on the show and I wanted to talk about this today is because it starts with good leadership. So, you know, we talk about the four enemies of growth. So what if we're going to look at this from a negative perspective, what are the four enemies of growth? And I'm just going to recap this before we close out the show. The four enemies of growth are unnecessary complexity, unscalable process, unhealthy mindsets, and underdeveloped leaders. So let's talk about the friends of growth, the allies of growth. What are the allies of growth? The allies of growth are this. And for all of you healthcare leaders that are out there, and for those of you in politics who are trying to move the ball down the field with regards to healthcare, all right, circle up your friends, you know, grab some cigars, hang out a little bit. And here are the four things that I want you to talk about. And then I want you to put a plan around it, and I want you to make it simple, and I want you to initiate that plan, because we need you. We need you, and like Dutch said, there's an uprising that is occurring. The phoenix is coming out of the ashes. The future leaders are coming back, and they are going to get stronger. Their voice is going to get louder. And here are the four things that they're going to stand on. Now, are you ready for this? Number one. Simplicity. Simplicity. It's, they're almost going to make it look easy because of how simple things are around them, because they employ simplicity. They create scalable processes that they and those around them can follow, and they are not so complex that they don't understand. They leverage technology to create efficiencies that are scalable, and they're simple processes. And here's another thing. They have a healthy mindset. They're positive. They're empathetic. They see the vision. They lead. They inspire. They have a healthy mindset. And then here's the biggest thing. Last but not least, they are strongly developed leaders. They are diversified. They understand different cultures. They understand different people. They understand the heart of man. They understand what good is. They understand what bad is. They have a good moral compass. They have honor. They have integrity. They have courage to do the things that are right. They are strongly developed leaders. And those are the people that we're looking for to come on this show, like Dutch Rojas. And Dutch, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being bold. I want to thank you for your honor and your courage and your commitment to the truth. And I want to thank you for what you're doing, because you are going to be, if you're not already, legendary. I know you are in our eyes. And your son has big, big shoes to fill. And God bless him and his walk. And I just want to congratulate you on that. And I want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And not to forget, you know, really the reason for the season and what we're doing here, folks. You know, if it was just about you, everybody would have been born on an island. Your own little island. But it's not about that. Dutch's son was born, and he came home to parents who love him and are going to help raise him to do the things like Dutch is doing, to uphold the truth. And he's going to develop him into a strong leader. And for those of you who are weak, feeble-minded, not willing to stand up and do the right thing, I'm going to tell you right now, this is a warning. You either just get out of the way or you watch out, because a big, big crushing's coming your way. And we're ready to smash it. So listeners, thank you. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for tuning in. And I just want to let you guys know that we love you. We wish you happy holidays. And we can't wait for us to talk to you on the next episode, of where we're going to get into it a little bit more with Dutch, and we're going to talk about the mantle. Dutch's goals, his visions, his aspirations, and where it comes from. What's his mantle? What's his mantle all about? And so make sure you tune into that one. All right, everybody. Thank you very much. And we are out. If you like today's show, then join the mission. Become a fellow smasher. We're passionate about saving healthcare. Subscribe, like, share, tell your friends. Together, we can make a difference. Go to smashithealthcare.com. This show was brought to you and sponsored by Omedza.com.